around this time of year, we hear people talking about what they're either going to start doing or stop doing at the dawn of the new year. People often use the new year to make a fresh start. The question that comes to my mind is, what are they waiting for? Just do it if you're going to do it, instead of waiting till January 1st. If you want to lose weight, just do it. Why wait until January 1st? If you want to quit smoking, just do it. Don't wait till January 1st. If you want to manage your money better, just do it and don't wait till January 1st. If you want to form a better prayer life, just do it instead of waiting until January 1st. Doesn't the Bible say today is the day of salvation? Sometimes we think a New Year's resolution will solve a problem or two. The truth is, resolutions usually don't solve anything because people abandon their New Year's resolutions in about a month. Nearly 80% of resolutions are abandoned by February 1st. Only 6% of New Year's resolutions last beyond a year. Personally, I prefer to make a Lenten commitment rather than a New Year's resolution. That way, there is a beginning and an end, and if I want to continue, I will. If I don't, I won't, and there's no guilt attached. We love to make resolutions because we're convinced that we have the power to recreate ourselves. We have what it takes to rid ourselves of bad habits. We think, all I have to do is make a resolution, and that will get rid of the old and bring in the new. I guess people have never read Ecclesiastes, where it says, there is nothing new under the sun. Ecclesiastes 1, 2 through 8, vanity of vanities, says the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. What does man gain by all the toil at which he toils under the sun? A generation goes and a generation comes, but the earth remains forever. The sun rises and the sun goes down and hastens to the place where it rises. The wind blows to the south and goes round to the north. Around and around goes the wind, and on its circuits the wind returns. All streams run to the sea, but the sea is not full. To the place where the streams flow, there they flow again. All things are full of weariness. A man cannot utter it. Well, I was in a good mood before I got here. The phrase, there is nothing new under the sun, means that everything happening now has happened in some form or another. It's a statement about the cyclical, repetitive nature of the human experience. Human nature tends to be a constant, which is why it is so hard for us to keep our resolutions. Our fundamental motivations and flaws don't really change without a serious crisis occurring, if then. The things we see today are just renovations of the same old dramas we have seen played out for a millennia. History repeats itself. Patterns in society, politics, and culture tend to repeat themselves. Empires rise and fall. Economic bubbles inflate, then burst. Generations rebel against their parents just like the previous generations did. Ideas are recycled. Many innovations, philosophies, and art forms are just reinterpretations or combinations of older concepts. The basic building blocks of creativity have been around for a long time. We just find a different way to assemble them. The preacher had a pessimistic viewpoint about this constant recycling of human events. The preacher reduced it to one grim adjective, vanity, or meaninglessness. He used a Hebrew word to express his sentiments about life. It's hevel. It doesn't really sound like a word. It sounds like you're clearing your throat. But it means meaninglessness, vanity, emptiness, futility. In English, we might say it means pfft. The theme of this book is hevel, or pfft. Since we've just come off Christmas, this seems like a really good theme for us. Let's call the preacher the Grinch. This guy was an ill-tempered person who liked to inflict his negative viewpoints on everybody. Most Grinches are truth-tellers because they haven't learned the fine art of communication. Famous television Grinches include Snow White's Grumpy, Oscar the Grouch, the greeting card character Maxine, Ebenezer Scrooge, Granny from the Beverly Hillbillies, Yosemite Sam, and, last but not least, Archie Bunker. For the sake of total disclosure, I'm a Grinch too. Your party need a pooper? Invite me. As the preacher records his observations, he gives us a pretty good picture of his mental and emotional condition. He's deflated and depressed. He's empty. His favorite description of life is vanity of vanities. All is meaningless. In verse 14, he pens, "I have seen everything that is done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and a striving after the wind." All is empty, and we are like hamsters running on our wheels, like dogs chasing our tails. The preacher, frankly, is not somebody we want to see coming through the door for our pre-New Year's Eve party, which we are going to have right after church. The harder we try to change things, the more they stay the same, writes the preacher. The more resolved we become, the less change will reoccur. There is nothing new under the sun. In verses 9 through 10, he writes, "What has been is what will be, and what has been done is what will be done. And there is nothing new under the sun. Is there a thing of which it is said, 'See, this is new'? It has already been done in the ages before us. Somebody else thought of it before, somebody else did it before, and somebody else will do it or say it again in the future. You can make a New Year's resolution and think you've really accomplished something new, but you haven't. I know I'm being a Debbie Downer today, but is this really a big shock to anyone? We can resolve to get a great education only to be passed over by a promotion for someone who is less educated than we are. We can resolve to be a nicer person only to discover that it's the complaining ingrate who gets the attention. We can resolve to do all the right things our whole lives only to see that the world's cheaters get the best things in life. Worse yet, says the preacher, not only does more wisdom and knowledge not guarantee you success, the more you know, the less happy you are. The preacher wrote this, "And I applied my heart to know wisdom and to know madness and folly. I perceived this also as striving after the wind. For in much wisdom is much vexation, and he who increases knowledge increases sorrow." During his lifetime, Leo Tolstoy was unquestionably the greatest writer in the world. He wrote the well-known War and Peace. Has anybody ever read that? I have tried. It's not easy. He also wrote the lesser-known but equally important book called A Confession. This book tells a story about how Tolstoy, at the age of 51, began to look back on his life and see that it was a meaningless, dismal failure. Tolstoy based his young adult life on the pursuit of pleasure. In Moscow, he boozed it up. He lived promiscuously and gambled riotously. His ambition was to be wealthy and famous, but in the end, nothing satisfied him. Later, he married a good woman and had 13 kids. He should have been happy, but he wasn't. He was suicidal. He asked himself this question, "Is there any meaning in my life which will not be annihilated by the inevitability of death which awaits me?" Tolstoy searched for answers in every field of academia. He inspected the lives of his friends and colleagues, and he saw that nobody had the answers to the fundamental questions of life. Eventually, some of the questions that plagued him were quelled by what Christ taught in the Sermon on the Mount. While he had once been hostile to Christianity, in middle age, he became open to it. Now, whether or not Tolstoy became a Christian is still widely and hotly debated. Tolstoy could have never been characterized as a peaceful, tranquil man, even though he did have some kind of a spiritual breakthrough. He and the preacher in Ecclesiastes echo the same sentiment: all things are meaningless. Freddie Mercury was the lead singer of Queen. Before his death, he wrote, "Does anybody know what we're living for? Does anybody know what we're living for? What is the point of life?" More than 3,000 years ago, the preacher went on a soul-searching journey, not unlike Leo Tolstoy and Freddie Mercury. All three say, in effect, how can anyone discover the meaning of life? The preacher lamented that there was nothing new under the sun. On a strictly human level, the preacher's lament, there is nothing new under the sun, is right. The truth is, many years after the preacher wrote his compendium on Life is the Pits, there was something new under the sun. It was Jesus Christ. Jesus dying on the cross for us had never been done under the sun before. Few of us could have imagined it. Because of Christ's death, meaninglessness lost its hollowness. Under the sun is the preacher's perspective. It is his worldview. His worldview is restricted to the earth. It is horizontal, under the sun. Because he seldom looks past the sun or into the heavens, life seems helplessly meaningless. His worldview is earthbound, and because of it, he finds that nothing has meaning. The preacher's under-the-sun worldview is reminiscent of nihilism. Nihilism is a philosophy that proposes that all values and beliefs are worthless. Existence is senseless and useless. Those who ascribe to nihilism are generally pessimistic and skeptical, just kind of like my ideas about New Year's resolutions. I am a New Year's resolution nihilist. Friedrich Nietzsche is often associated with nihilism. He was an extreme nihilist. He concluded that nothing could be believed, nothing could be felt, no one had value, and life had no value. He had an impressive career in the literary arts and in philosophy, but then he went completely and utterly mad. Because he only embraced the meaninglessness of life philosophy and dismissed God outright, his body, mind, and soul abandoned him. Now, I'm not saying that the preacher was a nihilist. He wasn't. He was a believer in the God of the Bible. He had values. Yet his horizontal worldview gave birth to some philosophies that came down the road many years later. These spawned the very bleak beliefs of nihilism and its cousin, secular humanism. These worldviews suck the joy and hope out of living. Marx, Freud, and Darwin, they all shared the worldviews of nihilism and secular humanism. All three of them said the same thing. You came from nothing, and you're going to nothing. Our culture has embraced these worldviews and pushed God off to the side. And then we wonder why we can't find any meaning or value in our lives. We can't be intellectually honest and say, well, I don't come from anywhere, and I'm not going anywhere, but while I'm here, I'm valuable. If there is no God, no eternity, no day of accounting, then we don't actually matter. If there really isn't a God, there really isn't a reason to exist. There isn't a resolution in this world that can fix a godless existence. The Bible tells us God exists, and because he exists, we do too. The Apostle Paul wrote this in Acts 17:28, "For in him we live and move and have our being. As some of your own poets have said, we are his offspring." God is the source of our existence. The principles of all life come from him. In him we were created. In him we have energy for life. In him we are. In him we will continue to be. We aren't just matter, we matter. It is only God who gives the human being value. Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." We are his workmanship. The word workmanship in ancient Greek is poema. Does that sound like a word we know? It does. It sounds like poem because that's what it is. We are God's poetry, his work of art. We have value. We matter. What we do matters. We have good works that we're supposed to be doing, and it matters whether or not we do them. The Bible says you matter. Ephesians 1:4-5. Long ago, even before he made the world, God chose us to be his very own through what Christ would do for us with his love. His unchanging plan has always been to adopt us into his own family by sending Jesus Christ to die for us. And he did this because he wanted to. The need for God today is identical to the need for God during the preacher's day. If there is no God, life really is meaningless. I would agree there. If there is no God, life is just a series of coincidences and chance happenings. If there is no God, then there's no good or evil. Good and evil would only be determined by what each individual says it is. And everybody is going to have a different definition of what good and evil is. And this would create total chaos, which we are seeing before our very eyes. If our worldview is only horizontal, only under the sun, then we have to find some meaning. Human beings were not created to have no meaning or purpose. As a default reaction, we make ourselves the meaning of our own lives, which is the underpinning of secular humanism. Secular humanism teaches that religion has no place in society. Mankind is fully capable of running his own life, of operating his own world. The largest fallacy of secular humanism is its belief that mankind does not need God. We can be our own gods. And really, isn't this what is at the heart of resolutions? I can do it myself. I can fix my own problems without God. I will it. I resolve. Therefore, it will happen. Secular humanism and nihilism are under the sun worldviews. Our only hope is to adopt another worldview. Life under the sun will be hollow until we have a meaningful relationship with God above the sun. We may need God more now than we ever have. To need and acknowledge God is a vertical worldview. We must abandon the horizontal worldview and embrace a vertical one. Our hope is not restricted to that which is under the sun. Our hope must be directed to that which is above and beyond the sun. There might not be anything new under the sun, but thankfully the followers of Jesus don't live under the sun. Our lives are filled with new things. The Bible tells us we are given a new nature. We are a new creation in Christ. All things for us have become new. When we have investigated everything visible under the sun, and we have found that there is no possible New Year's resolution to solve our problems, we will then turn to the one vital, missing, invisible piece. We will search out and find the one who gives us meaning and value. And this is my prayer for you as we enter into 2026. May you look beyond the sun and into the heavens and fix your eyes upon God.